Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart and a very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast. I'm with producer Vin right now. We're in a studio which is very hot. It's been a turn in the weather, Vin.
Is that what we're talking about now? We've got on to talking about the weather.
Well, you've been making fun of me all week for reaching the ripe old age of 37 years.
I've been nice about it. I think this is just all in your head.
You know what? I think, am I paranoid, do you think?
I think you are.
It's because I'm hanging around with young men that are clearly young and do young things.
Clearly young.
Clearly young.
Visibly young.
You come in every day and I look at Vin and I think, God, it's like watching Back to the Future happen.
Mate, I'm just a hip young gunslinger.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Right, on the Evening Show podcast this week, some great stuff for you. I had Ella, better known as Lord, in the studio. She was in great, great form, and producer Vin is totally smitten with her.
Infatuated,
that's the word, isn't it? Obsessed. Let's leave it there.
No, not obsessed.
It's heading in that direction. We also had Alt J in the studio, who were surprisingly really good fun. I had them down as a band who might be quite difficult to speak to, but actually,
they're great.
They were in great form, weren't they?
Yeah.
Although people keep telling me Gus from the band looks like he was a man in disguise, like Groucho Marx or something like
that. I'm sure he must get that all the time, though.
He must do.
He's got a fashionable moustache and fashionable specs, hasn't he?
I will only ever admire a man who rocks a moustache. It's a brave, brave move. I've also got some extra Damon Albarn. I went down to see Gorillaz in their HQ in East London when they were rehearsing for a secret gig the other week, and then we kept a little bit back. So I've got some of that in the podcast, plus classic album chat around one of my favourite albums of all time, Screamadelica by Primal Scream. It's superb stuff and it's well worth a listen. A few other bits and bobs as well, plus me and Vin talking a little bit of nonsense. So hang around for that.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart, this is the Evening Show on Radio X, and I'm absolutely delighted to say that I'm joined in the studio by Lord. There we go.
Hi.
Round of applause there.
How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed, how are you?
I'm really good.
The last time we spoke, it was on the phone, so it didn't quite feel as intimate.
It was on the phone. I was sitting in my bed in New York.
Yeah.
And I just put out Green Light.
And you were wearing a green tracksuit.
I was wearing a green tracksuit. Good memory.
I'm slightly disappointed that you've not turned up in a green tracksuit to keep the message going.
I think you kind of, you can only wear so much green when your single is called Green Light. I think people are like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool green.
We get the message.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah.
You made the criminal mistake of mentioning that you were looking forward to eating cream eggs. So everybody you've met today has brought you a cream egg.
It's been the day of the cream eggs, I'm telling you. I don't know if I could eat this many. Oh my God, in my lifetime. What is that other thing in there?
See what
is
we've
that
done?
Brown?
What's that brown?
Twisted thing.
Brown, delicious twisted thing. It's got a Scottish twist in it.
Oh, right? I want to know about
as
this.
As you know, we deep fry everything in Scotland. Right? Food isn't food unless it's golden and fried.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a deep fried cream egg.
Oh my God.
Wonton. Just to make there you go.
I'm kind of hurling thinking about that. Oh my gosh, look at it.
I reckon that might be around the 5,000 calorie mark.
We're hitting a serious amount of calories, so I should wait, right? I'm not going to crunch into this.
Shall we wait? Have you been presented with them all day today?
All day, yeah. But it's very nice. It's I love a cream egg, and I love the chocolate here. It's so much better than in America, where I have been hanging out for a long time. Sorry, America. You do a few things very well. Chocolate is not one.
They're not good at it.
It's not good.
We had a lovely conversation last time about your green tracksuit and what you're wearing. And I've noticed since then you've been on stage wearing a veil. What's that all about? Are you going for a sort of Sia thing? Or is it just a little trick for a performance?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was kind of... for that one, I was Saturday Night Live and I played two songs and wore two different outfits. And the first one was very much like sparkly and slick and... like a pop star, and the other one was sort of the inverse of that. I actually said to my stylist that I wanted to look like a moth in like a Victorian attic or something. I was like, just no sparkle and sort of swaddled in this cotton. I had such a vision for it, and then I found this bizarre thing, which I ended up calling Bride in the Asylum, because it
great
was
name
like,
for a song.
Yeah, it sounds like a hardcore band or something.
Yeah,
it was like this bizarre, it was like trousers, and I had bare feet on stage and nobody knew except me.
Right, we've been chatting about it, so here it is. This is Lord and Green Light on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart, that was Green Light on the Evening Show. I'm still chatting to Ella, aka Lord. Now, Ella, since you released the song, a lot of your mates have been sending you Snapchats of their Green Light interpretations. Are they complimentary or are they comedy?
I get a lot of... I think they're complimentary. It's a lot of drunk people.
Yeah.
Everyone is very drunk and really dancing to Green Light, which is an amazing feeling for someone whose music is... typically not soundtrack that kind of environment. It's quite exciting.
I love singing part of your song because it's a part of the song that blokes can sing along to where you go, in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Here it goes.
But I hear sounds in my mind.
That's superb.
That's good.
How low can you go? That's the question.
Oh, yeah, pretty low.
Come on, should we have a little practice?
Oh, my. Okay.
We're going to try and give you some examples of songs like Barry White or Isaac Hayes or something like
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything that could go really, really good. Don't you wonder sometimes. You go as low as Boyd?
No. I'm trying to think if I can. That's not that low for me. That's high.
You can go lower.
Yeah, big time. Who is a man that would risk his neck for
his brother's man? That's deep.
Somewhere around there. Oh, that's not good to hear on the radio. Sorry, everyone.
You know what? It's impressive that you've got such a big range. You can dig deep as well. And we shouldn't encourage people to dance in cars, but that looked like quite a liberating thing to do.
It's fun. It's fun. I feel like, yeah, with that video, it was cool. It was kind of like fun to move from the like realistic parts of a night out to the surreal, you know?
Yeah.
In this, you know, car that I've called on my phone and all of a sudden I'm out the window and then I'm on top of the car and the Uber driver's standing there and vaping, you know, like, it's like, okay, some of this is real and some of this feels very dreamy and weird.
We always ask about great gigs that you've performed in your time, but I'm actually more interested in ones that have gone disastrously.
Oh, good question.
For example, Ed Sheeran told us a great story about turning up in Exeter and there was nobody there. And it actually probably left him out of pocket by about 150 quid.
Oh.
Which doesn't matter now because he's richer
than
God.
He's doing it richer than God.
And can you remember, take us back to when things weren't quite so brilliant and maybe you've had a horrible moment on stage.
I mean, I feel like my first proper gigs, because I started all of this when I was like 14, 15, so I didn't have a lot of kind of gig history before that, but I was saying to someone the other day, I was in a band when I was at school called Extreme. It was a rock band.
There's already
perfect name
extreme,
for a rock band. Extreme. Yeah, there is an Extreme. We were
they can't sue now, it's okay.
We were the 12-year-old version of Extreme. And there was a lot of like there were a lot of bad moves. There was a lot of like trying to kind of get people to clap.
No.
I distinctly remember being like, I'm not cool in this moment.
There's footage.
This is not a cool era for me.
And is there footage? Is there footage?
There is a touch of footage online.
Oh,
there is. If you
we'll dig it out.
If you feel like a laugh, it's quite funny.
I think I'll be the judge of that. I'm definitely going to have a little snoop around. Okay, Ella's sticking around, but first let's have a little bit of Oasis. This is Wonderwall on Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Oasis Wonderwall on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. I'm still chatting to Ella, also known as Lord. Now, Ella, doing a thing at the moment called Best of British, right? It's a poll we do on Radio X every year, and it's giving the listeners a chance to vote for their most important song that a British artist ever written.
What?
Last year, Oasis won with Wonderwall.
Uh-huh.
Who and what is your Best of British? What song and artist?
Just one?
Yeah, I'll let you have three if you want to make
three?
It a little bit easier.
Oh, my goodness me. This is difficult.
It's tricky, isn't it? But I chose A Day in the Life by the Beatles.
Yeah.
And then thought maybe we could have done Loaded by Primal Scream and then went off on a Stone Roses tangent.
Ooh,
fascinating. Producer Vim went for Orange Juice.
Oh.
It wasn't Rip It Up and Start Again, though.
One of my kind of recent favourites, which is, I mean, I feel like I'm just going to skip all of the obvious. I'm sure there are more than enough Bowie votes in this. I love, I've been having a real Phil Collins moment.
Really?
And I love the song Take Me Home. Do you know that song by Phil Collins?
Trying to remember
it's 5 minute, kind of bizarre journey. It's like amazing drums, obviously. It's like his, his best drums. And it's just this like, it just grows to be this like, kind of giant anthem. It's very slow. It's kind of like an amazing trip that I feel like you have to go on the next time you're like walking to the train or something. It's magical. It's like my favourite song right now.
It would be appropriate and apt if you did choose a Bowie song, given your connection there. It would be lovely to hear your tribute to him and also one song you would pick from his catalogue.
I always struggle with this one because there are so many.
Yeah.
I mean, I think probably for history's sake and because I have such a connection. I mean, I've always had such a connection to it, but, you know, now, especially post-Brits, it would probably be Life on Mars, because I think that is such a great sort of... It's the distilled essence of who Bowie is, you know. It's this sort of... These questions, and it's an intimate worldview and a very large worldview, which I... all my favourite artists have this kind of... you know, the conversation between big and small in their work. And I've always loved that about Bowie, so I'd probably bounce that one in there too. You know what I love, which I think is such a good piece of British music, and to me feels very, a lot of his stuff feels so quintessentially kind of UK, is the song Loud Places by Jamie XX.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful, and it's so, I love music that is about partying and going out at night, but it feels like the soft spaces of that too. You know, a lot of the percussion feels like it's coming through the wall in that song. So I think he's so talented. So
there is something really intimate
about
that
one in there. Yes, I know.
Ella, it's a real pleasure to see you. Thank you very much for coming.
You too, Gordon. Thanks so much for having me.
I hope we haven't shortened your life by giving you some deep fat food there.
They look terrifying. I mean, it's like a very scary thing, but I'm always up for the challenge.
Ella, it's a pleasure to see you, aka Lord. Thank you very much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. X.
That was The Smiths on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Now, bit of news for you. The comedy lineup for this year's Latitude Festival has been announced. I've got the list in front of me here, but why should I read it out when I can rely on award-winning comedian and fellow Radio X presenter, Mr. John Robbins, to do the honours. John is one half of the brilliant Ellis and John partnership. He's on every Saturday from 1 till 4. They recently stood in for Johnny Vaughan on the 4 till 7 thing and did a brilliant, brilliant job as well. Anyway, here he is, Chortle award-winning comedy hero, Mr. John Robbins.
I have in my hands the comedy lineup for 2017 Latitude Festival, and I have to say, it's hammer after hammer. Dara O'Brien, Amstel, Catherine Ryan, Domit, Sean Walsh, Kalman, Herring, Kumar. Wow! Name after name that will echo through the halls of comedy for many years to come. But hang on! Who's this guy? Slotted in at the coveted 3:45 p.m. slot so as to avoid his crippling fear of crowds. Ha ha! It is I, Robbins. That's right. We here on Radio X are proud to announce as a world first the appearance of John Robbins mid-afternoon on a Sunday. Falafels, yes. Cider in plastic glasses, yes. 100% Robbins, I think so.
So there you go, that's the comedy lineup for Latitude, read by the 28th sexiest Bristolian, Mr. John Robbins. All of those stellar names will be performing in the comedy tent at Henham Park between the 13th and 16th of July. Some great names on there. Some of them have got a connection with the show. Catherine Ryan, Sean Walsh, they've both been guests on the evening show. Joel Domit, you'll recognise him from The Jungle, of course. Dara O'Brien, The Apprentice, You're Fired. Simon Amstel as well. He's got his little show on at the moment, which is pretty good if you want to check that out. Who else is on there? Tim Key, there's a good name. You might have seen him in Alan Partridge. He's also starring in Gap Year at the moment. Other music acts that I should mention while we're talking about Latitude. Headliners are the 1975 Mumfords, and you'll also be able to see Cabbage at that festival. Tickets for Latitude are on sale now from latitudefestival.com/tickets.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Right, this is the evening show on Radio X with me, Gordon Smart. I'm absolutely delighted to say that I'm joined in the studio by Gus, Joe and Tom from Alt-J.
Hello.
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 We need to get more people in here to clap.
Wasn't clapping.
I don't know. Sack them. It doesn't feel appropriate for award-winning bands with Grammys and Mercury Prizes and all the rest of it. But it's not gone to your head, clearly.
Not too much.
No? I don't think. You're always going to say that. I don't want to blow too much smoke up your backsides early on, right? But I've got to say, I'm a massive, massive fan of 3WW, which I think stands for three worn words.
Three worn words, sort of like worn out.
It's like, I've just come back from Utah, right? And it feels like you're walking into an Ennio Morricone soundtrack, that song. Wow. I don't know if you wrote it deliberately for True Detective, or if that was even in your thinking when you did it. But if it hasn't been, it should be in the next True Detective.
We are fans of True Detective, so possibly. Who knows?
It's a great song, great song. But we're here to talk about the new single, which is called In Cold Blood. Has that got anything to do with Truman Capote, is the first question.
No.
In a way, I think it was sort of named after it, but then didn't have anything lyrically to do with it.
I think we were writing the song, and there was no lyrics, so I think that was a book that we were both reading at the time, and it just suited the end of what we were singing about, so...
Just kind of filling in, in cold blood, kind of just sounded cool when we stuck with it.
It's a great new single as well, and there's a lovely contrast in there because you've got horns in Abbey Road, but then a keyboard that cost £1 on eBay, is that right?
£1.05, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, just to be absolutely correct on that.
What's that like going into Abbey Road to record the horns? Because that must, you know, do you feel the pressure of the history on your shoulders when you go in there, or is it something that makes you feel artistically inspired?
It's really exciting. I mean, because you know all these amazing albums were made there, but also because I think it's such a professional place. Everyone is doing their job so incredibly well. The techs and engineers are so on it that you just feel like you're just on a ship where everyone's just kind of putting their weight and doing a great job. And it's really exciting and inspiring to go there.
There's one thing I absolutely love about the mention of the single, right? That it's coming out on a heavyweight vinyl and cassette as well. So where was the decision made about releasing it on cassette?
It's a funny one, isn't it? Tom, you were very keen on that, weren't you?
Yeah, it was kind of mentioned, and I've been buying tapes recently. Yeah. It has a nice sound to it. It's like natural distortion to it. You know, they're becoming a little bit more popular these days for some reason. I like the physical aspect to it. You know, it's quite cool. It's quite nostalgic.
Yeah, there's a massive bit of nostalgia about it. It's a bit the arsache, the hassle of putting the pen in and unwinding it. You haven't had any of that drama yet, have you?
No, not yet. It's all to come.
The fingernail, using the fingernail of the pen wasn't handy at the time. Choosing singles is slightly different art now, is it not? Because music's consumed in a different way. But do you just pick the two best songs off the album, or is there something else to it?
I think we were very keen to start with 3 1 words or 3WW because we think it's a good statement of where we are now as a band. And In Cold Blood is a more obvious kind of big radio song, which is exciting as well to give to the fans. I think we'll possibly drop one more song before the album comes out, but we want to keep some stuff, you know, up our sleeve so that when people buy the album, they have something to listen to.
I find that amazing that a song like 3WW could be written in London. Because it feels to me like you've gone full Joshua Tree and you've disappeared into the Great Plains somewhere. But that, I mean, do you have to sort of take your mind somewhere else to write a song like that, or is it just getting on the underground and disappearing into Brixton?
I don't know. I think we're all dreamers when we write, and I don't think we really base our inspirations on reality too much. I think it just when it happens, it happens, and then we.
It's quite imaginative music, isn't it? Yeah, we're usually living in our minds rather than in particular geographic places.
What a lovely way to set up the song as well. So this is Alt-J living in their minds. the brand new single from Alt-J. This is In Cold Blood on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the evening show on Radio X with me, Gordon Smart, and that's the brand new single from Alt-J, In Cold Blood. Absolutely brilliant. Let me know what you think of that. 83936 and at Radio X. The band are still here. Joe, Gus and Tom are with us. Gentlemen, that's you playing that on the radio. What's it like hearing your song for the first time? And, you know, is it odd for you when you hear your music on the radio?
It is really exciting. I think radio has a certain kind of audio quality that's a bit different, and it's just cool just to, you know, we all grew up listening to the radio and, you know, like hearing music that way, so it's, we love it. Yeah.
Now I've got to ask you, a big thing for Radio X at the moment is Best of British. We do a poll every year where people vote, and artists vote as well, for their favourite or most important song that's come from a British artist. Can I ask you as a band to give us your nomination for this year's Best of British poll?
Well, we've just had a chat about it, and we decided to go with Radiohead, Where I End and You Begin, from Hail to the Thief.
How easy and diplomatic was that conversation?
It's very easy.
It was very easy. Yeah.
Was it really? Yeah, unanimous.
Radiohead is sort of all of our favourite band, really. Yeah. So it's and it's just a choice of picking one of their many awesome songs.
Joe, you were quiet there on the end. I think you did. You have something? I know you wanted to vote for the Proclaimers. You said to me,
"Yeah,
as you
I'm
came
a
in.
Big fan of the Proclaimers." Yeah.
I thought it was Bo Rap. You were really keen on.
I like a lot of songs.
Yeah.
Seven songs.
I like the choice is a good choice.
It's a great choice, Radiohead, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of other Radiohead votes on there. Gentlemen, all the best of the live dates. Good luck with the album, it's sensational. And I'd love to see you live this summer. I hope we'll bump into each other and have a little whiskey on the way.
Wicked. Thanks, Gordon.
Alt-J, thank you very much indeed. This is Radio X in the evening show with me, Gordon Smart.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Absolutely loving that. The Amazon's Black Magic on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Now, I promised you a bit of an Noel Gallagher story about him and some footwear, but let me tell you why first, right? Noel has collaborated yet again with Adidas. The Oasis legends put his stamp on the Garwin trainer for the 2017 Spezial range. Check it out at radiox.co.uk. I want a pair. The trainers are based on a 70s casual style from Adidas called the Brisbane, which came from his own sprawling collection, and I can tell you it is sprawling. His new heels come in indigo blue and feature his napper, his face embossed on the tongue. He's already released a limited edition trainer before. It was the 72NG Adidas Originals. I've got a pair in the loft and nobody's getting anywhere near them because one day they might help me out of a sticky financial position because they're worth a few quid. So here's a little story, right, about Noel. He gave a pair to a few of us, including our pal Jordy Lee. So Jordy Lee's got the lovely trainers. They're his prized possession, never worn, completely box fresh. And then a bit of misfortune, he happens to split up from his missus, and she decides to get her revenge by sticking them on eBay, and she got $4,500 for the trainers. He's still absolutely sick about it today. So there you go, Noel Gallagher, and his NG72s are worth a few quid if you find them on eBay. So this is a little bit of Noel for you now. This is Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, and appropriately enough, in the heat of the moment.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That's the Black Keys, Gold on the Ceiling, a great song if you want to practice your clapping. I'm Gordon Smart with your evening show on Radio X. So, last week I had a world-exclusive first play of the new Gorillaz track, We Got the Power, featuring Jenny Beth from Savages and Noel Gallagher. I went down to Gorillaz' secret bunker in East London to have a chat with Damon about the new album, and he was on fine, fine form. He always pulls in incredible collaborators, and at the secret gig on Friday night, Jean-Michel Jarre and Noel Gallagher were on stage together at one point. Only Damon can make that kind of magic happen these days. So, here he is, talking about the amazing lineup on the new album, Humans.
The whole record is very much a balance of male and female.
Grace Jones is on there as well.
Grace Jones.
Love the way you always have a great artist like the late, great Bobby Womack last time round and this time.
Yeah, well, and Mavis Staples.
Mavis Staples, of course, yeah. Big personalities.
And Carly Simon.
Yeah. Did you just have a list of people you'd love to work with and then...
Well, it's a big list.
Yeah.
I mean... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Grace Jones, right, I've got to ask you about her because she's just unbelievable to
Force
be around.
Of nature.
I met her in Jamaica at Strawberry Hill and she pretended to be a West Highland Terrier for the entire night.
That sounds like her.
So did you... I know these days it's a lot of stuff.
I mean, all I remember is about 2 o'clock in the morning she was doing handstands.
Did you contribute as well?
To the handstands?
Yes.
I had, after she'd sort of completed a successful handstand, I had to attempt one myself.
Yeah, and how did you get on with it?
I'm all right. I have to do them regularly in yoga.
There you go, Damon Albarn, a multi-instrumentalist, a man of many talents, not least at doing handstands. So that was Damon Albarn behind the scenes last week, and this is our track of the week here at Radio X. Get your ears around this. Let me know what you think of it. This is Gorillaz, and We Got the Power.
We got the power to be loving each other no matter what happens. We got the power to do that.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So this is a section of the show I do every Monday night. We delve a little bit deeper into an album that I love, or maybe you've suggested that we should look into. Over the last few weeks, we've done Blood Sugar Sex Magic by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, R.E.M. Automatic for the People, and many, many more. But this week is something really special to me. I watched the documentary about this just the other day, and I've fallen madly in love with the album again. Primal Scream, Screamadelica. It was their third album, released on Creation Records on the 23rd of September 1991. That's nearly 26 years ago, and it sounds just as good as it did then. Now, so usually I talk you through the album at this point, but let's pause for a bit of music. Does this sound familiar to you? It's got a great groove, hasn't it? So this is I'm Losing More Than I'll Ever Have. It was on the previous self-titled Primal Scream album released in 1989. And then you hear the horns. There it is. Loaded. That was the basis of the song, and it was all about DJ Andy Weatherall, who, if you watch the documentary, played a massive, massive part in making Screamadelica the magic that it was. He remixed the tune, added a drum loop from an Italian bootleg of an Eddie Brickell song, and the incredible Loaded was born. You recognise it now, don't you? Hear the horns. It's Superb. Absolutely love it. So yeah, we're looking back. Alan McGee plays a massive part in this. I had him on the show the other day. He's obviously the boss of Creation Records, and he was just at the point of giving up on Primal Scream. They toured the country. They were playing gigs in weird places, from Aberystwyth to way up north, but to 20 people. And then all of a sudden, Andy Weatherall gets involved and just sprinkles that little bit of club magic, and it became this dance. I mean, it was so of the time, the way they made rock and roll and something more than that, just a bit more of a groove. So producer Vin's here as well. Vin, I know you're a massive fan of the grooves in this album. Yeah. You were minus 5 years old or whatever it was when it came out.
I'm 6 months older than this album.
That's terrifying.
Groove is the word. Groove is the word. So many tunes on this album. Loaded, Moving On Up, Come Together.
Yeah.
They're just all about the groove, mate. It's brilliant. And I'm a bassist, so I love all that. I love all that stuff.
See, there's so much said about the bad behaviour around the album. It's often forgotten how good the musicianship was, right? Innes and Duffy on keys and piano, absolutely brilliant. And Rob the Throb Young on guitar as well. I mean, he is a beautiful, beautiful musician. And the way it all came together is superb. And it was all heavily inspired by Pet Sounds as well, and a liberal use of layering, I think it's safe to say. But it was also the liberal use of other substances that played such a big part in the creation of Screamadelica.
There's a bit of acid house in there. That's fair to say.
And other things. And other, you know, things. What you put a group of Scottish men in a house to record an album with a DJ at that time, and what they did was they'd record the songs and then go off to a club where Weatherall was playing and just watch crowds going absolutely bananas to songs like Loaded. And they knew they had a massive hit on their hands when they saw that happening. It's just full of grooves, transcendent in places. The album cover's superb as well, and it won the first ever Mercury Music Prize in 1992, and there's a great story behind that. They managed to lose the check on the night out and had to ring up and ask for it to be sent to them. Right, let's play it now. We've talked enough about it. Two songs back to back from the epic Screamadelica. This is Loaded, followed by Moving Up on Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I'm Gordon Smart, and this is The Evening Show on Radio X, and we're doing classic albums. It's all about Screamadelica, Primal Scream, their third album, and it was released on Creation Records on the 23rd of September 91, nearly 26 years ago. I just played Moving On Up. That was originally a slow piano-led ballad performed just as a solo by Bobby Gillespie until Andy Weatherall got involved, and Innes came up with a little bit of magic as well, and it became something completely different, but a bit more gospel, rhythm and blues sound, absolutely beautiful. There are references in all of the album to Muddy Waters and the Rolling Stones. In fact, it has the same chord sequence on Loaded as Sympathy for the Devil. Loads of other samples on there, Indian sitars, harmoniums, sound effects from Beaches and Waves. It is absolutely magical. And one thing I loved about it as well that I didn't know before is that everybody played an equal role. If you could play a guitar solo better than Rob the Throb, you got your chance to do it. And there's one track Gillespie was too ill to sing on, so the Throb had to step in instead. Absolutely love that. If you've got any suggestions for us to do classic albums in the future, just get in touch. Let us know, 83936 or at Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
That's the new one from the XX. Say Something, Lovin'. I don't know what you're making of that, but I absolutely love it. You can see that Jamie XX dub just pouring through. I don't know if you heard his album with Gil Scott Heron, but I tell you what, there's a real flavour of it in that song. Absolutely love it. I'm Gordon Smart with your evening show on Radio X. Now, he's a man who is as famous for his movie soundtracks as the films themselves. So if there was one director to wish a very happy birthday to on Radio X, it's Quentin Jerome Tarantino, who's 54 today. What a great middle name he's got as well. Now, get on this, right? Reservoir Dogs came out in 1992, and just to blow your mind, he was only 29 when the film came out. It raked in hundreds of millions of dollars, something like $80 million, I think it made. So he was working on budgets that were 20 times less than what he was bringing in. I think Reservoir Dogs was made for something like $1.2 million, which is tiny in movie terms. Then he went on to do Pulp Fiction in 1994. Do you remember the bad MF wallet? You know what I'm talking about, in Pulp Fiction? That was actually owned and used by Quentin Tarantino. What else did he go on and do after that? Jackie Brown in 97. What a brilliant soundtrack in that. Bobby Womack across 110th Street. Johnny Vaughan was raving about that earlier on. He's a character, though, Quentin Tarantino. He was once in the Golden Girls playing an Elvis impersonator. And here's something you might not know about him. I wrote Crazy Gang Legend, Lock, Stock, Star, Vinnie Jones autobiography. And every now and again, the man from next door would pop over and borrow a cup of sugar. It was Mr. Quentin Tarantino. How about that? Tarantino and Vinnie Jones, next door neighbours. So let's play a song now. Okay, this is one of the massive, massive tracks from Pulp Fiction, where, shall we say, Mia Wallace maybe just enjoyed herself a little bit too much. This is Urge Overkill on Radio X.
Girl. Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thanks very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. If you liked it, please leave a review and tell all of your friends. As Johnny Vaughan says, tell six of your friends, they'll tell six of their friends. And before you know it, 12 people have given you a review. Okay, that was the Evening Show podcast. Make sure you come along for next week. Evening Show every night between 7 and 10.
Radio X.